This is Triple J Breakfast with Matt and Alex.
Welcome, fans of on-demand audio content. It's the Kings. Well, the King and the Jester.
Maybe we're the Viceroys.
The Viceroys of the online audio on-demand content world. Matt and Alex joining you for a Macklemore podcast today. The first day back after a long weekend. And yesterday I was forgetting that no one else had the day off. And it was just because we won the amazing race that we got this day off.
Yeah, you sort of just felt like it was a national holiday or something.
Oh.
I mean, it feels like a national holiday, didn't it? I mean, it basically should be a national holiday.
Well, I was looking at my phone, right, which has all sorts of random Australian holidays. And recently, I can't remember the exact date, but it was Hobart Regatta Day. So there we go, on the 8th of Feb.
Did Hobart get that off?
Not sure if they get it. I don't think Hobart
gets it. Is it like the Brisbane show day? Because the Brisbane show day, I think it's usually the Wednesday, middle Wednesday in August.
Melbourne Cup, Victoria gets it off. So potentially, but we should have talked to the online calendar people and got Matt and Alex's day off in there for everyone.
Do you know what? That is actually hilarious.
Sort of stuffed in there like U2's album. Just a little Easter egg for fans.
We should have campaigned for it. We should just campaign for a national holiday just cause.
Yes, yes.
Maybe. No, actually, I don't think we understand I certainly don't understand the financial impact it has on the community, on the economy.
Yeah, people.
Every day off.
It's always interesting statistics that come out on various small disturbances where people like realize the slow traffic is costing the economy $3 billion a day. I'm like, but everyone's still going. How is it? Or like, online mobile games cost the economy $280 million dollars every day.
My one's people. It's always people taking sickies costing however many hundreds of billions. But then people being, I mean, what are you going to do? You can't stop being sick.
I reckon like Aversion, I know being a lot of people text in, quick, hurry up,
I'm
playing like Aversion, but I'm sitting in the car because I want to hear this cover. Like Aversion cost the Australian economy $280 million every Friday.
And so, throw in the $5.80 that we each get to sit around and talk around it.
Talk to the taxpayer.
So, I mean, yeah, however many billions plus $5.80. It's an expensive segment, but worth every damn penny.
Hashtag worth it. Because you're worth it.
As today is.
The motto here. Hopefully you enjoy the podcast and we will talk to you in another podcast soon.
Bye.
Matt and Alex are with you. After yesterday, Triple J turned into a big station helmed by Veronica and Lewis for 12 hours, 5:30. This time they were 45 minutes into their show already.
Yeah, they put in the hard yards, but it was all worth it. Clocking up a solid 27 thou for the Fiji appeal.
We were given the day off, given we justified the tons of people who got the BBFL hashtag tattooed on their skin. Brecky Boys for life. Thank you very much for jumping aboard. We are back in the chair.
Whoa. I would have gone the hashtag BB4L.
Yeah, I guess
I did
probably
the number. Have I got this wrong?
No, that is cooler. You're absolutely right there. My apologies. But here we are back with you on a Tuesday after completing a large O-week crawl across the week. Good to be on home turf. Marsho from Wollongong, you bumped into us on the crawl.
Hello, Marsho.
Hey, boys, what's going on?
Not bad, dude. Good to be back on a Tuesday. How are you feeling today?
Oh, mate, Ripper, I'm about to tee off on the golf course. Can't get better.
Oh, what?
Is it even light on the golf course?
Mate, don't worry about the light. I can O-week, not like you, peanuts.
Why? We just O-weeked.
We just proved we could, Marsho.
No, just because you think you can doesn't mean everyone else can. I was walking past, half-tinnied, went for the big high five and got zip.
Wait. Where is this?
We were down at the Gong Uni. I was half-tinnied, so I probably wouldn't have O-weeked myself.
But what? And you reckon I didn't high-five you?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm having none of this, Marsho. I'm having none of it. Alex Dyson, you were with me the whole time. Do you recall anyone throwing up the five, you know,
the five fingers?
Mrs. Palmer.
I do not recall seeing that, but in the past, people have been known to not receive a high five from that O-kind.
Marsho.
Mate, what you got to do is you got to check your peripherals because I was there.
Oh, come on. What, looking 360 just to catch any stray palm? Turn it up,
you
mate.
You want a week, you got to do it.
Your allegations are as empty as the bloody hole on the 18th, okay? So turn it up.
Mate, it's turned.
Have a good time at the course, Marsho. Hopefully,
right, I'll be smacking balls.
Hopefully you could get 5 under par because Matt O'Kai didn't give you that 5 when you were out and about. Cheers, bro.
All right, thanks, Marsho.
Please welcome to the studio, Jono Harrison.
Good morning, boys.
Speaking of jobs, Viceroy's.
That would be a strange job.
Yeah. Representing the king.
Jono, in here, he's our producer here, one of the many jobs he's had over his years, always surprising us with various things. You babysat Roger Federer's kids at the tennis one time. You were a carpet layer. What else have you done?
I was a photographer's assistant for bed magazines. Used to hold the duvets taut.
That's also a good one. So he loves to help you on a Tuesday morning with your own employment issues as we look into the world, because we all need to try and, you know, make that money, find a job. Do we find a job? Do we find a career? You know, which is which? Do you want to hold duvets taut for the rest of your life? Is that your art?
Is there a lot of money in that?
For the photographer, yes. Assistants, not so much.
Damn.
Because I'd be pretty good at holding that duvet. I mean, I'm not good at making the bed. In general,
I am a shocker at making it. I try.
I mean,
you
got to get back in it at night.
Yeah, there's no point, is there? Although there's nothing better than getting in a new bed.
Word of advice, though: in the morning, make your bed. First achievement of the day, very small achievement, and then you'll start achieving things for the rest of your day. It's very simple.
Why don't you save time and refresh Facebook again?
So is that the weirdest job that you've had?
No, I want to talk to you this morning about some of the weird jobs. Well, just one weird job that I've had, and a job that I just could not believe that I was getting paid to do this job.
Okay, well, text in, because we want to know what your weirdest job is when you've thought exactly that.
And it's one of those questions that, I don't know if you, it doesn't so much apply to Alex, who's only ever had one other job in his life before.
Oi, but, I've been paid to do various other things, like hand out flyers for a kid's clothing store in Warrnambool while wearing a polar bear suit.
How often did you do that?
A one-off day of $50.
A friend of mine ran a below-the-line advertising company. So they make point-of-sale products, more or less.
What does that mean?
What is a below-the-line advertising?
An example, people in Melbourne are, you know, Mikey. One of my jobs for him was they designed the logo, the Mikey logo, and then I had to stick it onto the Perspex brochure holders, 500 of them, that now sit at every single train station in Melbourne. So if you ever see one of those Perspex brochure holders with a Mikey sticker on it, I stuck one of those bastards on.
Wow.
if you're catching the 86 into the city from out Preston way.
Think of Jay Harrison.
You might be seeing Jono's work.
Now, one of the jobs that I did for this guy, they had a contract with the people that make Barbies in Australia or sell them in Australia. Barbie dolls.
Okay.
And so for the national sales rep in Australia, they wanted to redesign her desk. And so it was my job to build her desk. So I got, it's like a corner thing. No, the desk was already there. It was just like decorating it. And so there were two big Perspex kind of sheets with a gap that would have been about 10 centimetres that you could just drop things in, just like a coin slot, but a lot wider. And they gave us a bunch of props. The first idea that they had was to get Barbie parts, so arms, legs, heads, and just fill the Perspex sheet with Barbie parts. We got a call a week later after we did this saying, we've actually scared a few clients because they're too freaked out by all of the body parts in there. So what I had to do, I had to take all of the Barbie body parts out of there and replace in the Perspex sheets 20 Barbie Victoria's Secret models, and I had to get elastic bands and super glue them to the back and put them on hooks and display them in this Perspex sheet. It sounds simple. It took me 6 hours to do for 20 bloody Barbie models. And that was one of the moments that I had when I was like, I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this job.
0439757555 if you had the same thought. Looking at the far wide reaches of employment today.
Ah!
Gluing on Barbie stilettos is so hard.
It says here, bed bugs breed better in made beds. Hope you're gearing up for a long day of work, and I hope that that work is as bizarre as you can imagine. Yeah. We're just talking. We're talking jobs with Jono, our producer.
Jono's jobs.
Morning.
Had plenty of them. One of which included sticking Barbie dolls to a Barbie woman employee's desk to make it look nice, so that when she had meetings, people saw the Barbie dolls.
She loved it. Sales up by 13% after that.
Australia's premier Barbie body part sticker up.
Got some interesting ones about these you don't even think about, but this is nice. Someone saying that I helped my auntie package those cheap chemist sunnies in the clear bag they came in. I also stuck the little stickers on them. How about that? You know, the little ones like UV protection polarized on the little glasses, sticking every sticker on every sunglass.
You mean the ones that come straight off as soon as you buy them?
Yeah, exactly. So that's not a bad one.
Text coming in. Thank you very much. 0439757555. Another person saying, I cleaned headstones on a Saturday morning for $15.
Wow.
They were display headphones, but people always think I'm a weirdo for doing it. I guess
headstones.
Yeah. You know, like grave headstones.
Yeah.
I
thought you said headphones, the second one. We've also got Dan from Sydney who was giving us a ring. Hey, Dan.
Hey, mate. How you doing?
Great, thanks. What has been your weirdest job?
When I was about 13 or 14 years old, my old man got me a job at the local driving range. And I was the guy at the back of the range picking up balls, and I was wearing a full carpet suit with a gridiron helmet. So needless to say, I was... Yeah, the best target on the range, local kids coming down and not aiming for the yards, aiming for me at the back.
Now how many times did you get hit, Dan?
Oh, a fair few.
Now, a carpet suit, is this something that you can just buy from the shops, or is this a makeshift suit that you made out of, like, leftover carpet?
No, this is cheap and nasty boss. Go and buy some leftover carpet and put a hole in it for your head.
So you were wearing it like a poncho?
Yeah.
What colour was the carpet? Was it green to match?
No, it was like a rental brown beige.
Oh my god!
Wearing a beige carpet poncho with a gridiron helmet, getting balls whacked at you. How much an hour are we talking here, Dad?
It wasn't much. I think it was under $20 an hour, but I did get a lot of free balls. That was one perk of it.
Did you play golf?
No, I still hate golf.
I bet you did.
You're well and truly scarred.
Thank you much, Dad. Other people are texting in on I can't believe I'm getting paid money for this. 0439757555, Jono.
Just got one from Anonymous. One of my jobs was to drive around in a paddock, fill up a bag with dirt, go to another spot in the paddock and empty the bag. $11 an hour.
What was the goal? Here's an interesting one. I really want to talk to Carl, saying acting gigs in China were usually pretty strange. One of them was an advertisement for an air conditioning company, and I was wearing a skin-coloured Lycra bodysuit. I was slightly overweight, and there were some very awkward poses.
Hope you're well. It's a 12 minutes past seven on a Tuesday.
And I was kept up to date with the people tripping the light fantastic on the red carpet in Hollywood for the Oscars by Richard Wilkins, also an award winner in his own way.
Was he there?
Richard Wilkins was there chatting to the finest that Hollywood has to offer.
Was he showing off his Crumb of the Year award, which we gave him last year?
He had it there. I've got to say, Diane Keaton was quite jealous when she did an interview. But that was happening yesterday. And, yeah, an interesting one with the controversy leading in about the nominees. No black nominees in a lot of big categories there, which people calling it a whitewash, which was quite interesting, particularly given a very famous comedian, Chris Rock, was scheduled as host. So people wondering, all right, what's Chris Rock going to say coming out and do that? And he didn't skirt around it.
No, he jumped right in. Very funny stuff. And here's a little sample of what he had to say.
I wish I was rich, man. And like,
oh,
not even rich.
You
just
are
rich enough to get a vacuum cleaner.
Why did you do that?
Oh, sorry. That's my bad. That's my bad.
You are such a crumb.
Little Wilco move on you there. Sorry. This is what Chris Rock had Wilkins. To say at the Oscars.
It's the 88th Academy Awards, which means this whole no black nominees thing has happened at least 71 other times. Okay? I'm sure there were no black nominees some of those years, say 62 or 63, and black people did not protest. Why? Because we had real things to protest at the time. You know? You know, it's too busy being raped and lynched to care about who won Best Cinematographer.
It was really good stuff. I recommend checking out the full thing. Goes for about 10 minutes. He's opening monologue there.
Yeah, and stick with us because up next we have the pleasure of chatting to an Australian person who has won an Oscar just yesterday.
Damian Martin was part of the makeup and, you know, styling team behind Mad Max Fury Road.
Which picked up, I think, 4 gongs, did it, overall?
Six. Most of any film.
Woo!
And so we're going to be having a chat too, Damian. That boy.
Matt, nice with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us this morning. After the big awards ceremony that went down yesterday, the Oscars, it was very entertaining stuff. And it's time to go to, what do you call the colour of the carpet after the red carpet, like in the aftermath?
Oh, I don't know. Goon stained?
The goon stained carpet after particularly the Australians doing very, very well. Mad Max taking out 6 awards, one of which went to the makeup and hairstyling Oscar, and which you're going to chat to a member of the crew that worked on it right now. It's a big congratulations to Damian Martin. Congratulations, Damian.
Hey, thanks so much.
No, thank you for joining us.
Thanks,
it must be
pleasure.
It must be pretty early over there. And did you get much sleep after what, you know, did you celebrate basically?
Yes, we definitely did celebrate. LA turns it on pretty good, so I haven't had much sleep at all.
Are you based in LA?
A bit shabby.
Are you based in LA these days? Is that where you do most of your work on films?
No, I'm based in Sydney. Actually, all three of us are based in Sydney. We have a company there, so yeah, we just come over for the awards.
Now, you filmed this, I think it was over a couple of months in, was it Namibia you were over there? It must have been a pretty grueling shoot, and you must have been just having to be hands-on all the time, given how complex some of the design and styling was.
Absolutely, yeah. We were over in Namibia for 6 months, and we did 1 month in Cape Town back in 2012. Yeah, it was pretty extreme.
For sure. Does it help that one of the stars, Charlize Theron, just has the number one buzz cut as far as the hairstyling goes? Was that a little bit easier for you?
Absolutely, that was fantastic. That's something she did off her own bat as part of the character, and we were wrapped when she did that.
What, she just turned up one day and she'd shaved her own head?
She sent a photo through just before coming over for the shoot, and she made that decision.
Now, because it is set in a sort of post-apocalyptic environment, very desert-based, everyone is absolutely filthy in this film. What did you use for this dirt, and how much of it did you have to buy?
Oh, man, I'd have to ask Leslie on the actual quantities, but we used a variety of products, some alcohol-based ink. What else was the LF dirt? It's called dust bags and a whole ton of clay and body paint for all the war boys.
For sure. And what about the chrome stuff that they sprayed on their teeth? What was that?
That was a food colour, silver food colour, like, you might have seen silver almonds and it was mixed with, what was it, glycerin and alcohol. That was something that Elka came up with. Yeah, it was safe for the mouth, but a bastard to clean off.
Yeah, I bet.
Sure.
Hey, so could you give some people a tip as to, you know, anyone who's at school right now wants to become a award-winning makeup artist? Where do you get your start? What do you do?
I started out in my bedroom as a child, devouring any information I could get, books and how-to videos behind the scenes, and spending my pocket money on products and just just trying it, just building up a folio.
I was in a
now
makeup shop.
YouTube and,
sorry, Damien, I was in a makeup shop recently and, you know, with various wounds, fake wounds you can put on, fake blood and that sort of stuff. It's quite an expensive hobby,
I think,
for the smallest things. How was a young child? How did you make your money to get all this stuff?
I just scrimp and save, and that was the birthday present that I asked for. It was a lot harder to get it back then. I was ordering stuff from New York and waiting months to get it. But, it's a lot easier now. But, yeah, you're right. It's not cheap.
Well, it certainly paid off for you, taking home the Academy Award yesterday.
Yes, for Mad Max Fury Road, the hairstyling and makeup. And let's talk after parties, Damien. We saw videos after the Grammys of Paul McCartney getting refused entry to after parties. How did you go? Where did you end up going and partying with?
What did we do? We went to the Governor's Ball straight after, which is fantastic. So that's sort of in the same building as the actual Academy Awards. That was amazing. And that's where they put the plaques on our award. Beautiful champagne and fantastic band. So that was great. And then we went to, where did we go to? A Warner Brothers party, Elton John's party. And then, yes, we're refused entry into I can't remember which one it was now. But it all got a bit late. We spent a lot of time sitting in cars trying to get from one place to another.
Yeah, I bet.
Always happens.
Thankfully, no lockout in New York. Hey,
Los Angeles.
There actually is.
Oh, really?
They have a 2 a.m. lockout, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow. Yeah.
It's becoming a nanny state world.
Oh, goodness me. Well, I'm glad you got to have a party. Best of luck finding a spot for your Oscar in the home now, whether it is the mantelpiece, fireplace. I'm not sure where you're deciding to put it, but I'm sure it'll look great.
Great. Yeah, no, I think we'll be keeping it at our studio, at our studio.
Sensational.
Awesome.
Well, congrats again, Damien Martin, for working on the Mad Max Fury Road hairstyling makeup. You've got yourself an Oscar now, and no one can take that away from you, my friend.
Oh, and someone here has just texted in. Emma from Glen Alpine in New South Wales says, my cousin's name is Elka Waterland, who won the Oscar alongside Damien. Could you please tell him
she
to tell her
did.
I said hi and that the family is super proud. Hey, thanks, Damien.
Fantastic.
Matt and Alex are with you on Triple J.
And Matt, we're pumped to introduce our next guest whose highly anticipated second album dropped last week. Let's get him on the line now. Good morning to Macklemore.
What's up, guys?
Hey, dude.
Hey, dude. Where do we catch you right now?
I am driving in my car.
Okay, I find it interesting even just picturing you in a car. I feel like you're an exclusive Vespa
moped man.
That's true. I mean, I'm on my moped and I have a helmet phone.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Already, Matt and Alex exposing a fraud in the system. Look at this. There's a roof over the head. It's an exclusive here this morning. No, it's so great to chat to you, man. Congratulations. The album coming out this week. It must be a pretty busy time for you at the moment. How's it all feeling?
You know what? It is a busy time. It feels amazing. You know, you work on music for the studio, and then you get to share it with the world. And when you're in the studio, it's a fairly isolated time. And it's exciting just to be able to give people new music and share the art that we've been creating by ourselves in the woods for the last year and a half.
In the lead up to the drop in the album, Macklemore, you dropped a couple of songs that were leading up to the release, and they were just so incredibly different in their stance. Like one was white privilege, too, and the other, you know, which is about some serious Black Lives Matter, you know, stuff that's happening in the States and around the world. And then you dropped Spoons, which is about being the little or the big spoon. How did you feel like the reception was leading up to those?
Well, I think that the reception was definitely different. You know, Spoons was just kind of a fun track that we put out on Valentine's Day. It's not on the album. But with White Privilege, that's a record that we worked on for a really long time and had a lot of different collaborators and community involved in that record. I think that we knew it was going to be very polarizing, that it was going to be discussed and critiqued. And I think that what's the most important about a record like White Privilege 2 is that we talk about race and that there's no easy way to talk about it. You know, it's systemic in America that racism is ingrained in our culture. you know, I'm really happy with the way that the art turned out, but I think that what happens next is the most important. Where are we going from here? How are we engaging our demographic of young, predominantly white folks to talk about race?
For sure. And I really love that you don't treat it as a telling people what to think. It really is that start of a discussion that you're so good
right.
at. You must be so nervous about putting out a song such as this as well, because, you know, in the age we live in, there's people, you know, listening in Australia right now, but on the internet, then the discussion starts and it's not always pretty. You managed to get through the discussion okay?
Yeah, I think you have to remind yourself consistently why you're doing this. I didn't start the conversation by any means. I won't finish the conversation. I think that I'm just engaging in the conversation. And again, I'm not perfect. I'm not an expert. It was really important for me to come in from a place of, you know, hearing Black Lives Matter at a protest and not knowing if I could say that or not. That's where the song starts, because that's where, you know, a year and a half ago I was at. And kind of all the internalized things that are going on in my mind. You know, we all bring our own baggage to the protest. And it's not about me. You know, I'm entering into the conversation, but I think the only way that I could get through it was reminding myself this is not about me.
Let's have a quick grab of the song so you understand what we are talking about here.
It seems like we're more concerned with being called racist than we actually are with racism. I've heard that silence is an action, and God knows that I've been passive. What if I actually read an article, actually had a dialogue, actually looked at myself, actually got involved? I'm aware of my privilege and I do nothing at all.
Yeah, and what I love about the record as well is that it can bounce from a song like that onto a song about, you know, dance off, let's say, which just seems like a really, really sort of, but I mean, it just seems like straight away something you can get down to. I want to find out. We're going to play a song like Dance Off now. It does feature Anderson .Paak and Idris Elba. And I want to come back and ask you about maybe your most memorable dance off moment in Macklemore's history. So we'll have listen to it right now. This is Dance Off by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. Matt and Alex are with you. You are on Triple J. Hope you're having a good one.
I challenge you to a dance off.
Bad language in this song.
Hands off, no trash talk, no back walk.
Dance Off by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. Brand new music for you on Triple J off their album, The Unruly Mess I've Made. And it's a pleasure to be chatting to Macklemore here this morning. G'day again, Macklemore.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems the influences have come from many places, I guess, on that particular song. You've got the organs, Anderson .Paak, who we've been playing a bit of recently at Triple J, has got on board, as well as Idris Elba. Has he featured on anyone's record ever before?
He's a DJ. He's a producer. He's obviously not known for that, I think, by most people. You know, he raps a bit, he sings. He's kind of like the universal Renaissance man in terms of creativity.
Yeah, and I truly believe that everyone has that most memorable dance-off moment in their lives that can always look back on. Do you have a moment that not necessarily even inspired this, but just always goes down as your greatest dance-off moment in history?
Oh, man. I feel like I've had a couple. You know, there's just been a couple weddings where I've been in the zone. You know, talking about like when you actually just connect with yourself and your body and you start doing things that you didn't know you could do and you never really do them again. And it might just be like I had a little bit too much of the special punch at the wedding, but, you know, I got in that zone and killed it. And really impressed my grandparents.
There's something about, maybe it is the jungle juice, maybe it is the love that's in the air, maybe it's the fact that, you know, there's a few oldies around usually at weddings and you go, all right, here, let's show you some real moves. They didn't do these.
Maybe it's a suit.
Yeah, exactly.
Wearing a suit and dancing isn't necessarily teamed up enough, you know, so maybe it's that.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it could be. Well, let's get back onto the album, The Unruly Mess I've Made, one of the more tongue-in-cheek, funny songs on the album, but as was the case with the first album, The Heist, able to transition between songs such as that, as well as some heavier ones. We talked about White Privilege 2 earlier on, and we're going to play another song here from The Unruly Mess I've Made called Kevin. Now, listening to this, I realized at the end of the song, my mouth was kind of open, Macklemore, at the things you were talking about. Can you describe what sort of things you touched on in this particular song?
Kevin was a song written about a friend of mine that passed away. And It talks about drug addiction, but specifically the pharmaceutical industry in America, how we deal with anxiety, how we deal with really fear in the form of a pill. It examines our culture and examines the doctors. You know, pills are an epidemic with people in general, but and this is something that has happened in the last 5, 10, 15 years. So I wanted to talk about it in the record. You know, I've lost 6 people in my life to pharmaceutical drugs.
Really?
And it's been a big part of my own story with addiction, and I wanted to talk about it.
On Triple J, that was Kevin, features Leon Bridges, and it's a track off Macklemore's new album. Matt and Alex are on Triple J right now. We're having a chat to the man himself behind the album. We just touched on, you know, the subject behind that track, Macklemore being about pharmaceutical drug addiction, and you also just mentioned your personal battles. One of the tracks that jumped out to me on that on the album is Need to Know. It features Chance the Rapper, and the sort of hook talks about things that you wish you knew. What do you think overall since you know, you really blew up in the last album to where you are now? What do you wish you knew the most out of, you know, the things you've learned?
Oh, that's a deep. You guys always get deep.
<I'm> sorry.
Oh, sorry about that. They do call this show the diving pool sometimes because it likes to go very, very deep down there.
Yeah. I always enjoy talking to you guys because of that. I think that for me, it's been a roller coaster, ups and downs. And I think that you can learn things along the way and forget them. But one thing that I consistently am learning and relearning and learning some more is that you can't appease everybody with your art. You know, this is a form of expression. Hopefully some people connect with it. A lot of people won't. And that's part of the process. You know, this art originated not as commerce, not as a tool to gain notoriety. It originated as a form of expression. And when we keep it in the form of expression, in its truest sense, that's when fulfillment happens.
For sure. On Triple J, we're chatting to Macklemore this morning. Thanks so much for having a chat to us today. Best of luck. Last week, The Unruly Mess of Made is coming out, so I'm sure there'll be a lot of live performances around the place, Macklemore, that you get to yourself and Ryan Lewis will be able to perform live once again. And thanks for getting deep with us. I think there's something chatting to you, because it doesn't always happen. Your music is so self-reflective and you think deeply about yourself. You're very self-aware. There's something that brings us out in that. So we appreciate you chatting to us and going for a free dive with us.
Yeah, anytime. I'm always down for the free dive. I appreciate you guys.
thanks so much.
Well, best luck with everything. Hopefully we'll see you on Australian shores soon, huh?
Yeah, I was just going to say, one of the tours that I'm looking forward to the most this year, probably the tour that I'm looking forward to the most, is the Australian tour.
I don't know
when that's happening, but I'm really, really looking forward to getting back over there and celebrating with you guys. It's going to be fun.
Well, we're loving all the tracks so far. I mean, Downtown song reached in our top 20 of our Hottest 100 last year, and it's just been played all over the country.
And let's do this right now, Macklemore. Challenge you to a dance-off when you do come by.
Okay.
We do a dance-off every Friday,
right.
Just after 9. So.
Yes, we do a dance-off.
This is my first challenge.
Well, bring it,
we got it. Okay.
Well, now I need to get good.
Yeah. I mean, you got to watch out for Alex. His arms are flailing everywhere. You could very much get hurt. So get the medical insurance ready beforehand.
We do require guests to have protective goggles around my limbs.
Yeah. And get the ego insurance ready as well, because we will damage that once you've seen our moves.
Okay. I'm going to start practicing.
Thanks so much, Matt. Have a great day. Catch you later.
Thank you, guys.
Breakfast with Matt and Alex on Triple J.